Hell froze over, so here comes the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that makes hay while the sun shines. He's often described as mid-century modern Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It's always a pleasure to have you with us today, or any day, really. It's a pleasure today, and it's a pleasure all other days as well. I'm here to help you understand Medicare. As my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, may have told you, my name is Doug Jones, and we perform this exercise several times a week in order to share the wealth, spread a little Medicare good cheer, mostly to encourage you to consider purchasing my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. Right now, it's available at Amazon.com in three varieties. It's available in the paperback. That's the workhorse of the fleet. It's available in the Kindle variety, the ebook, which is available instantly. As soon as you pay the $4.80, it can be sent to your reader immediately. And then, of course, there is the magnificently constructed hardcover book. And that's a very modest $24, but there are people who enjoy that sort of an expenditure. And what you get in return is a library keepsake that will live on beyond your lifespan into that of your heirs, your progeny, and your not ancestors, but the people on the other end of your family tree. So anyway, what we do is we ask you to read that book and then contact me if you need additional information, elucidation, clarification, or perhaps you need a licensed insurance agent to help you get the Medicare supplement of your choice. I can certainly help with all that because that's what I do for a living. What does Randy Carson do for a living? He's been asked many times, and I don't know if there is really an answer for that. Let's ask him. Randy Carson, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. I'm sitting here looking at your shirt, and I'm really, really looking forward to 5 o'clock.
Oh, boy. You wait that long? I've got neighbors across the street who can't wait past four for cocktail hour. It starts earlier for them.
As we always say, Doug, it's 5 o'clock someplace.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. They're a bad influence on me. But so what I'm wearing today is a Miller High Life t-shirt. It's a celebration of the coming of warmer weather and the enjoyment of drinking beer that many of us like to participate in, including Randy and I believe.
Oh, yes. I have been known to tip a beer on occasion.
I have been there to see a couple of those occasions.
Yes, yes. And I always, just for those of you on the podcast, you've got to know that there's only one beer really in the world, and it's Guinness.
I'm waiting for a punchline there, but...
Well, that's just a statement of pure fact, Doug.
Well, I have to say it was pretty tasty. When I enjoyed Guinness with you in a couple of occasions...
Yeah, Guinness. That's at least... an 8-pack, and that's a Guinness.
Well, I'm not sure I had 8 of them, at least at all the settings, but it was very tasty stuff. I didn't expect it to be. I was stealing myself for a less than satisfactory experience. Randy, with his magical words, made it palatable and actually enjoyable. So I changed my whole attitude about Guinness.
Well, as you know, you can ruin a good Guinness by not pouring it correctly.
So I've heard.
You can ruin a good Guinness by not putting it in the appropriate glass. I mean, there's just a lot of things you need to know about Guinness. And when next time you come over, Doug, I will be more than, well, as you know, we're going to have a switch turning party here pretty quick.
Yes.
And as you know, I will be happy to sit down and demonstrate all of these techniques and teach you.
I will be happy to learn, but the problem is after a few Guinness, the things I've learned may make an escape from my brain, and I may not retain that knowledge as long as we had hoped.
We'll go again. We'll keep doing it until you get it right.
All right. Sign me up for that. Last episode, we got all sidetracked. It was all my fault, talking about Irish history and English history. And so this time, I think we ought to dive right into it. So I'm going to start off with some correspondence I had with a prospect who I believe will be my client very soon. But he wrote me and asked for quotes. He said he's a lifer in one branch of the military. I don't know which branch. And he asked some questions about his options. And I told him that his options were wide and accessible because he's eligible for TRICARE for life and he can get services at various VA facilities. But I have never read a definitive opinion piece that says when you're in that position as a retired service member or the dependent of one, that you should always do this or you should always do that. The balance of opinions that I've read have been much less defined, and they've all kind of said, you know, if you want to be cautious and err on the side of conservatism, then go ahead and get Medicare and Medicare supplements, because that will add to the protection and offer more places where you can get treatment. So I think he decided to do that, because then he went to our website and filled out a questionnaire giving the basic information that I need in order to give an accurate quote. And I sent him quotes for Medicare supplement plans. The two plans that I recommended were Plan G from various companies and then high deductible Plan G from other companies, and the same ones also, because most companies offer both plans. But it's the high deductible G is where I like to steer people, assuming they don't have any weird things going on. High deductible Plan G is going to be the best, most cost-effective coverage. So I sent those quotes to him, and he wrote back and said, "Mr. Jones, thank you so much for the quotes and the recommendations. I have a few questions." He asked if there's any deductible with regular Plan G. "I want to understand the numbers that you sent me, you especially using the United American quote for high deductible Plan G." And then he rattled off a bunch of numbers for each of the two plans that I don't recognize these numbers. I don't know what he was calculating. And then at the end of his calculations, he said, "It seems to me that regular Plan G is going to be my most cost-effective choice." He said, "What am I missing?" Because in the quotes, I said Plan G was the most comprehensive coverage, but not the most cost-effective. The most cost-effective is going to be high deductible Plan G. So he said, "What am I missing?" He said, "This is a big decision with long-lasting consequences. I really appreciate your experience or expertise and advice." And so I sat down last night after sending the content curator off to bed. I started in with another explanation of why high deductible Plan G is going to be a better choice for most people than regular Plan G that is very comprehensive. So here is my statement to my future client. I said, "I completely agree that this is a critical decision. Right now, I'm not sure I understand what you contrived with your calculations. So let me explain my calculations and let's see if they make sense to you. My assumptions were that you are most likely to select the cheapest Plan G, the least expensive. So I compared that to an inexpensive high deductible Plan G that I'm confident will serve you well into the future. That is how the two plans were selected from my portfolio of companies, the inexpensive Plan G and the inexpensive high deductible Plan G. Now, in the best case scenario, the best case year, that assumes that you will sail through that whole year with absolutely zero medical expenses. If you have purchased the Plan G, the total of your 12 months premiums would be $2,000 and change. It's a little over $2,000. You will have spent that much in spite of being perfectly healthy. On the other hand, if you had purchased the suggested high deductible Plan G and had the same wonderful year with zero medical expenses, the total of your outlay would be almost $700. Instead of $2,000, you would pay $7,000. Your purchase of that plan will save you over $1,300. Now, let's suppose that you have a worst case year. Instead of having zero medical expenses, you've got lots and lots of medical expenses, like over $13,000 in medical expenses. So you will have to pay the first $240 in cash, because that is the Medicare Part B deductible. Everybody gets to pay the first $240. After that, Medicare and Plan G, the most comprehensive and expensive plan, those will pay 100% of your medical expenses for the balance of the year. Therefore, in this year, your outlay will be the $240 deductible plus the Plan G premium of $2,000 and change. So that's going to be a grand total of $2,256. In this same worst case scenario of massive medical expenses, if you had purchased the suggested high deductible Plan G, your charges would be $696, almost $700 for that high deductible Plan G premium, and $2,800 for the cost sharing that Medicare would impose. So when your out-of-pocket cost-sharing expenses reach $2,800, your Medicare supplement will pay everything else for the rest of the year exactly as the regular Plan G would have paid. In this very bad year, your insurance cost was much less than it would have been, $700 as opposed to $2,000. So you had $1,300 to contribute to the out-of-pocket costs because you had that massive savings between the Plan G and you bought the high deductible Plan G instead. Your out-of-pocket cost is really only $1,240 for this worst case year. And that's because the savings of premium between the expensive Plan G and the very inexpensive high deductible Plan G, the savings that you incur, that you enjoyed, reduced your exposure to the high deductible part of the plan. If historic trends continue, that $1,200 will shrink over the years until it passes zero, after which your annual savings will exceed the amount at risk every year. In some places like New York and Southern Florida, this is the situation from day one because the Plan G rates are very, very expensive in those places. Under normal circumstances, there is a constant upward pressure on health insurance premiums. Medical inflation plus the increased risk of our advancing ages means that the insurance company will eventually need to collect a higher premium in order to stay in business. I certainly cannot predict how often or how much these rate increases will be, but they will come sooner or later. Let's suppose the company raises rates on all of its Medicare supplement plans by 10%. The Plan G rate for the following year is going to be over $200 higher, while the high deductible Plan G rate will only grow by less than $70. If the historical trend continues without interruption, 10 years will see a much larger increase in the Plan G premium than it will in the high deductible Plan G premium. Of course, if you purchase Plan G with the expectation of changing to the high deductible G in the future, or vice versa, you could consider the possibility that you will not be able to show evidence of good health by that time. I would rather be stuck in the high deductible Plan G for the rest of my life than hemorrhaging cash in the regular Plan G. In fact, my wife and I have both been in high deductible ever since our entry into Medicare many years ago. In spite of some knee replacements and a couple of other hospitalizations, we have never regretted having purchased the high deductible plans, except for the lower commissions I earned, of course. If this doesn't meet with your expectations and your risk tolerance requires that you purchase the more expensive, more comprehensive plan, this is what I will provide for you. I just wanted you to know about what may be a more cost-effective option. So by that time, it was about midnight, and I wasn't sure whether I'd done a good job of explaining this. I woke up this morning, and that gentleman had sent me a message saying, aha, it makes perfect sense. So thank you for the explanation. Let's go with your suggestion with high deductible Plan G. So if I successfully explained it to one person, I'm pretty sure I can concoct a short, sweet, but impactful way to explain it to everybody else. And that's going to be my goal as I perform my homework in trying to construct a really painless way for people to understand this sort of complicated concept. Anyway, I think it's time for us to maybe clam up for a while, let the commercial advertisers do their thing. Randy and I are saving up for a Christmas party. And so I think I'm going to just let that money start rolling in right now. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're back now, and I found some other things that the content curator agreed with me were worthwhile for our target market of people that are aging and finding hearing difficulties and vision difficulties to be a little more frequent than they used to. So here's an article an article about cataract surgery. And the question is, does Medicare cover cataract surgery in 2024? Around age 40, the proteins in your eye's lens start breaking down. That's exactly when my arms got too short. I was 40 years old and I realized that I had a need for off-the-shelf reading glasses, and I still need those things today. By age 60, the symptoms typically become more noticeable. Randy's adjusting his glasses now. Just the mention of glasses causes people to grab them and say, oh my God, thank God I can see. So anyway, by age 60, the symptoms typically become more noticeable, often manifesting as cataracts. In fact, statistics from a publication called Healthy Aging show that 1 in 5 adults age 65 and over have cataracts. I don't think I have cataracts, but the content curator is burdened with something that's probably worse, and that's macular degeneration. But let's talk about cataracts only for today. So cataract symptoms include the following: blurry or cloudy vision, difficulty seeing at night, double vision, faded or dulled colors, increased sensitivity to light, halos around lights, frequent prescription changes, and the need for brighter light for activities. Well, I got some of those things. It may be that I have cataracts and I don't know it. The question is, what causes cataracts? They're a common age-related condition, but genetics and environmental factors also can play a role, according to the Cleveland Clinic. Let's break it down. Genetic risk factors: having a close relative with cataracts increases your chances of developing them. Environmental risk factors: these are external factors that can influence your risk. Here are some key environmental factors. Excessive sun exposure. Well, that would apply to me. I spent more time in the sun than any other 5 people I know when I was a kid. And you know, frankly, I guess that adds up. UV rays can damage the lens of your eye. Smoking, one of my favorite activities. I gave it up years ago, but I still think about it every day. Smoking habits are linked to an increased risk of cataracts. Air pollution, radiation treatments. Radiation therapy to the upper body can increase cataract risk. Well, I've told the story before about the reason I don't have a thyroid gland anymore is that a young doctor with a very strong theory about how to help kids avoid tonsillitis happened to cross my parents' radar screen, and I found myself having my throat shot full of radiation when I was a kid, which it allowed me to avoid a tonsillectomy, but it did cause big problems with my thyroid gland. So that was radiation therapy to the upper body, which could have increased my risk of cataracts. Eye injuries, that can raise your risk, and also exposure to certain chemicals, pesticides, or toxic industrial chemicals. Medical risk factors: certain medical conditions and medications can also play a role. Diabetes, they're more prone to have cataracts. Glaucoma, steroids, long-term use of steroids can elevate cataract risk, and high blood sugar. So those can be a contributing factor. Taking care of yourself, including managing diabetes and maintaining healthy blood sugar levels, is important in helping to reduce your risk of cataracts. So the way this article started is, does Medicare cover cataract surgery in 2024? Good news. Cataract surgery is an outpatient procedure covered under Medicare Part B. However, it's not entirely fee. You may be responsible for a portion of the cost, typically up to 20%, as a co-insurance. Here is more good news. If you were smart enough to purchase a Medicare supplement policy, it can help cover all or a portion of that 20%. And that's the kind of advice that I dole out every podcast episode. Buy a Medicare supplement policy. do not buy a Medicare Advantage plan. So hopefully anybody in this audience suffering from cataracts has everything they need to make that a very inexpensive process. Steer clear of Medicare misinformation and avoid costly mistakes. This is another article from Diane Omdahl. I should put her on the payroll. Well, that would disturb Randy, because anything I pay anybody else is going to be more than the amount that I pay Randy, and he's going to be upset about that. So don't let misinformation lead to costly Medicare mistakes. Early in the new year, a severe winter storm warning for our area resulted in the closure of my grandson's schools, cancellation of business meetings, and a grocery store run on milk and essentials. What happened? Instead of blizzard-like conditions and a foot of snow, we got 3 inches of rain and mid-30s temperatures. I often wonder how it feels to have a job where what you say, even if wrong, can have such an impact. Wait a minute. I do. I work with Medicare. Medicare misinformation is widespread. It seems that the source, if the source has any connection to seniors, any Medicare tidbits are considered credible. And if that information turns out to be wrong, the repercussions can be serious. One common topic for which people seek advice is whether or not to enroll in Medicare, because missing the enrollment window can mean no coverage for medical bills, significant out-of-pocket costs, and late enrollment penalties for life. So the right timing is critically important. Here are just a few samples of the misinformation surrounding Medicare enrollment that you can find on the internet. There are exceptions to the rule that everyone must enroll. That's one of the pieces of misinformation. If you or your spouse is still working and has a health care coverage through an employer or other credible source, such as an individual health plan, you can delay Part B without a penalty. Well, that's not true, because individual insurance does not count, and your penalty will be growing every day that you fail to enroll in Medicare. A national retirement planning company posted that piece of misinformation. There is no rule that everybody must enroll in Medicare at age 65. And if there were, there would only be one exception. If the person has a group health insurance plan sponsored by a company with 20 or more employees that is based on his or her current employment or that of a spouse. An individual plan may be considered creditable coverage, but it does not qualify to delay Medicare enrollment. It's important to note the source of the comment about an individual health plan being creditable so enrollment could be delayed. It was simply healthcare.gov's definition of creditable coverage, and it did not mention delaying Medicare enrollment. Late to enroll in Medicare Part B, job-based insurance, COBRA coverage, or even your spouse's active health plan can help dodge penalties. I know for a fact that there are some inaccuracies in that statement, but let's read on. A Medicare expert for a national news site wrote that piece of misinformation. Job-based insurance or the spouse's active health plan must be an employer group health plan, as noted in the previous example, meaning 20 or more employees. And no way is COBRA coverage a basis for putting off Medicare. In most cases, if you don't sign up for Part B when you're first eligible, you'll have to pay a penalty. And not just upon enrollment, you'll continue to pay that penalty for as long as you're enrolled in Medicare Part B. This appeared on the website for a large sponsor of Medicare plans. What's wrong with this one? Most cases is not quantified. So to avoid any penalties, some enroll in Medicare, even though they could delay. Besides issues with the internet, clients have shared with me the misinformation they hear in conversations with employers, insurance agents, and advisors and friends. It's usually along the same lines. You must enroll at age 65, or you don't have to enroll. Recently, I heard a new twist worth sharing. An HR representative told a client that they can't force him to enroll in Medicare. His plan is sponsored by a company with 20 or more employees. So, for that reason, he cannot drop the employer plan because it would look as though the company forced him into Medicare. Of course, this is also misinformation. His company cannot make him enroll in Medicare, but it cannot stop him if he decides that Medicare is a better option. What to do about misinformation? Well, the internet can be a great source of information to help you understand Medicare, but you have to be smart. So start your research with Medicare.gov, CMS.gov, and ssa.gov. These sites are not the easiest to navigate, and sometimes you will need to put together pieces from multiple pages, but these are the sources behind the rules. Validate any information you get from non-governmental sources. Either track down the information on a government site or find at least one other reputable source that says the same thing. Check out the footnotes to verify that they are credible sources and support the information. I just found this on another insurance website. Quote, if you have other credible coverage, you can delay Part B and postpone paying the premium. Creditable coverage was a hyperlink to a page on creditable prescription drug coverage and the Part D late enrollment penalty, and not a single word about Part B. There are two points that apply here. One, Medicare is very complicated, and two, people are reluctant to deal with it. However, Medicare has many moving pieces, and that's why everyone must deal with it carefully. Take time to learn the genuine, not somebody's alternate, facts that apply to your situation. So that's good advice by Yumpin' Yemeni. One of my favorite things, birthday rules. Happy birthday to me. Well, it's not really my birthday anymore, but here's a little blurb about California's Medicare Supplement Birthday Rule. California residents with an active Medicare Supplement Plan, also known as Medigap, have the unique opportunity to switch between certain plans annually without the need for Medicare underwriting or medical underwriting. This opportunity is called the California Medigap Birthday Rule, and when used, it ensures that the policyholders will be accepted and will not have to go through medical underwriting. Because there is no open enrollment period each year for Medicare Supplement, policyholders can switch between plans at any time. But if you switch plans without using the California Medigap Birthday Rule, you will be required to go through medical underwriting, which can cause being declined for a pre-existing medical condition. If you are past your Medicare open enrollment period when you first turned 65 or when you were first enrolled in Part B, you can be turned down or charged more, mostly just turned down. I haven't seen people charged more for their Medicare supplement insurance. The new California Medigap Birthday Rule, while the birthday rule has been in effect in California for several years, the rule was recently expanded. The time frame was lengthened from 30 days to 60 days after a recipient's birthday. The only restriction when using the birthday rule is that the switch must be to a plan with equal or lesser benefits. The new rule became effective in July of 2020. So to successfully switch between plans when using the California Medigap birthday rule, you must A, be a California resident, B, be a participant of an active Medigap insurance plan, C, submit an application within that 60-day period from your birthday with proof of having an active Medicare supplement plan. That would be a copy of your ID card would do it. Ensure that you are switching to a Medigap insurance plan with equal or lesser benefits. So what does equal or lesser mean? Well, all plans have a letter name, like A, B, C, D, F, G, K, L, M, and N. All plans must cover 4 basic benefits with an additional 5 benefits offered under other plans. Keep in mind, plans C and F are no longer offered. So basically, when you're going to go from a richer plan to the same or lesser plan, you're going to be going to either the plan with the same letter name, or you're going to be going to a plan with a lesser level of benefits that's going to be a lot less expensive. So as an example, plan F is very expensive. If you want to save money but still stay with Medicare supplement, go to high deductible plan F or high deductible plan G. That's going to be a lot less expensive. And in fact, it may just be the best move you could make financially. Most plans are more expensive than plan G or high deductible plan G. So high deductible plan G should be your target if you want to change to a lesser plan that will save you a bunch of money. Who qualifies for this birthday rule? It's valid for seniors age 65 and older who currently have an active Medicare supplement plan. Each state has its own rules for offering plans to individuals under the age of 65. The supplemental insurance may be available for individuals with end-stage renal disease and for those under the age of 65 who are disabled. The major benefit of the California Medigap birthday rule, when you have an active Medicare plan that does not meet your health needs, using the California Medigap birthday rule gives you the opportunity to switch to a plan with equal or lesser benefits without going through medical underwriting. Especially this beneficial if your health has changed and you now have a pre-existing condition. Basically, I say that the Medicare supplement birthday rule is going to be most valuable to you if you have been witnessing your plan, the plan you have, like let's say a plan G or a plan F, getting more and more expensive as the years go by. And you've said to yourself, I love having a Medicare supplement. It's the best thing for me, but I am getting ripped off. I need to get to a company with a cheaper plan, or I need to go to a lesser, less expensive plan with my same company. So the target would be the high deductible plan G. And that should be your thought process. If you feel like your payment, your premium payments are way too expensive and you only see the fact that they're going to go up in the future. So the problem with Illinois has a birthday rule also. It limits you to staying within the same company. It'll still benefit somebody who is in a plan F or a plan G, and they see those rates going up every year and they want to save money. But if they can't go through medical underwriting to get to another company, their only option is to go to high deductible plan G. And that will allow them to save a whole bunch of money. So my message to you is, if you live in a state with a birthday rule and you've got a medical condition that won't allow you to make it through medical underwriting, then let's talk about the birthday rule in your state. Maybe we can use it to at least get you into a plan that costs a lot less money. Now, Randy, I have had it for today. Let us fold up the carpeting and carry it out the door and leave. I don't know where I was going with that one. You look very confused.
Well, you know, we'll just definitely land the plane here. But before I do, as you know, Doug, there's always a couple things I want to take care of. And yes, sir. I'm going to roll out a new acronym for Medicare Advantage next week.
Oh, boy. I wish I had a drum roll.
Look forward for that, because you know I'm pretty creative when it comes to memorable monikers for Medicare Advantage.
Even that right there is memorable. A memorable moniker? That's yes. Fantastic.
So anyway, here we go. You get out a pencil. DBJ at MLMmailbag.com is where you can reach out to Doug. He gets grumpy if he gets nothing. So help me out here. MLMmailbag.com, DBJ. Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. We would appreciate it if you could drop a couple reviews for us in various places that talk about how much you like the content that Doug produces. It's good stuff, and it numbers. Even though it's still early in the year, the numbers always help us out. Last but certainly not least, thank you for joining us. You could have been a number of different places doing a number of different things, but you weren't. You were with us, which is exactly where we like you, listening to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And if you weren't tracking, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy originally from Oklahoma. No more. He lives in the high country behind Cave Creek, Arizona, and sometimes he's higher than others. So I'm going to chalk him in. I put him in at 18.5 last time. I'm going to be nice. Okay, 15.6.
Somebody's going to smack you with your own memorable moniker, I'll tell you right now. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm not thanking Randy for squat, but I'm going to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. And I'm going to hope to see you at our next episode. Bye-bye.